So this morning we continue in our little series dealing with our feelings the Bible way, and as you heard earlier, this morning's subject, the dangerous dragon of anger. Dragons, as Professor Cullinan points out, are widely believed to be mean, ferocious, and to be feared. Myths about dragons can be traced back to around 4000 BC. They were believed to fly, breathe out fire, and to be avoided at all costs. Sadly, though, there is a dragon that is very real. His name is Satan, and we read about him in the Bible. He is the enemy of every single disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive and well. He is an accuser, a deceiver, and a destroyer, commanding a massive, well-organized, vile, and dangerous army of demons. Then sadly too, but equally true, he finds a ready ally in our depraved nature. And he loves to stoke up from within us what the Bible calls the works of the flesh. We read about them just a moment ago in Galatians chapter 5. The produce of a sinful nature which manifests itself in things like dissension and jealousy, and anger, hatred, sexual immorality, and the list goes on and on. If we're honest with ourselves, and of course we all are, then every single one of us has struggled from time to time with the dangerous dragon of anger that can cause us to do and say things that are completely out of character. Ask me. I've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt, as the saying goes. Like our feelings of discouragement and fear, anger can move along a continuum. From being troubled, to being provoked, to being irritated, to being upset, to being mad, to being furious, to being enraged. Like fear, we have a choice. Suppress it or express it. In expressing it, James would warn us that the tongue can be like a little match that'll set a forest on fire. In suppressing our anger, we can suffer inwardly and incubate a host of even deeper problems. Hidden aggression will damage our relationship with people and our relationship with God. Don't we know it all too well? Unresolved anger is unbelievably destructive. You can tell how common a problem anger is by the huge number of words and phrases that we use to describe it. Vexed, exasperated, indignant, infuriated, peeved, maddened, ticked off, incensed, teed off, belligerent, boiling over, fuming. Oh, it's never happened to you, I see. Anger is a fabulous recipe for ulcers, high blood pressure, heart problems, bitterness, unforgiveness, revenge, violence, and even depression. But let's bring some balance to the equation. Like fear, anger is a natural reaction. Anger is a natural reaction. And not all anger is necessarily bad or harmful. Even Jesus was angry on occasions. I spent some time in the week in preparation just looking at different Bible passages that express the anger of God himself. And there were 12 passages in particular that I spent a little while thinking about, and I won't quote the references, but I have them for you if you want them. But here it is. God is angered by injustice. God is angered by idolatry. God is angered by spiritual adultery. God is angered by betrayal of his covenant grace. God is angered by our refusal to listen. He is angered by our disobedience. He is angered when his people murmur and complain against him. He is angered by unbelief. He is angered when the truth is suppressed by ungodliness and unrighteousness. And you know Psalm 2 and verse 10 to 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be consumed in his wrath. God's anger is in response to sin, injustice, and unbelief. His anger is an expression of his holiness and his pure love. The psalmist says his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Thank God for that. Amen. And Exodus 34, 6 and 7 says, he is slow to anger, abounding in love and truthfulness. God's anger is always justified. Unfortunately, my anger, our anger, is not always justified. But justifiable or not, we are in trouble if anger tends to control us. We have to learn to control it. It doesn't take long for anger to emerge after sin has entered the human race, does it? And we find Cain so angry with his brother Abel that he murders him. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, elaborating on the spirit of the law, teaches his disciples, teaches you and me, that when we are angry, the seeds of murder are already in our hearts. Like fear, then we have a choice. Controlled anger and indignation can actually strengthen good resolve, can actually give us a greater sense of empowerment and control over debilitating or threatening circumstances. From wise discipline of our own children to fighting things like human trafficking. Anger that is expressed in a healthy way can restore relationships instead of breaking them down. It's always good, of course, to ventilate our own feelings to ourselves before we try and talk to the person who has angered us. You're not in a good space if you have a short fuse, are you? Let anger drive you first of all to God. Sharing our pain and anger with our Heavenly Father will expose our own sinfulness, our own pride, our own self-centeredness, or the issues that anger have really touched, and pull down the barriers of anger that are erected between us and God and others. How often has not anger provided me with insight into myself, into my own life, and how much reeking self-centeredness there is still in my own heart? Anger always has a cause. Sometimes that cause may be stemming from abuse we suffered as a child, or the loss we suffered when our mother or father was taken from us. There are 1,000 causes for anger to manifest. So anger is good when it causes us to trace it back to its roots and so find deliverance and healing and cleansing for our souls. I'm sure many of you have read some of Gary Smalley's works. He has helped so many people to restore and enrich relationships, and especially in marriages. And Gary Smalley hits the nail on the head when he writes, and I quote, "Unresolved anger is enemy number one when it comes to love. If it is not dealt with in a healthy and timely manner, it will eat away at your happiness and erode your relationships. Professor Cullinan writes, and I quote, "Two of its destructive malignancies are an unforgiving attitude and bitterness, which will grow and fester and cause much pain to us, our relationship with others, especially those we love, and our relationship with God." The good professor relates an occasion when she was asked to facilitate an anger management training session with men who had been convicted of spousal abuse. The wife batterers had been ordered by the court to attend the 6-week training session. And so Professor Cullinan arranged them in a circle so that they had to face each other. And when their turn came, each one had to begin their statement with this: "I abused my wife and was sent by the court to this group." Then they had to share what they felt caused their violent outburst of anger. As you can imagine, many of them placed the blame squarely on their wives. Then one of the men told how he had come home from work and found his wife in bed with another man. On the board in the room where they were was a whiteboard, and on the whiteboard was a long list of felt emotions. This man was asked to share the feelings that he had as he looked at the board. His arms were tightly crossed on his chest as he looked up at the words on the board. He began by reading, "I felt angry. I felt furious. I felt rage. I felt betrayed. I felt afraid. I felt confused." His arms began to uncross when he said, "I felt hurt." He broke down in loud sobs that caused the other men to drop their jaws in surprise and wonder. The hulk of a man was crying like a baby, but he had opened a door to the source of his anger, the floodgates that had shielded his pain burst open. After the mandated 6 weeks, he was a very different man, free from the poison of anger that was killing him and caused him to nearly kill his wife. Unresolved anger is a very dangerous dragon. Is the dragon attacking you? Let's see if we can answer the question, what does the Bible say about all of this? Surprisingly, it has a great deal to say. In the Old Testament alone, there are 455 references to anger. 375 of them are referring to God himself. Nahum the prophet writes, "Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire." The writer to the Hebrews tells us, "It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, for our God is a consuming fire." The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Jesus himself was angered by the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of his day, angry with his disciples who refused to believe, angry at the death of his friend Lazarus, angry at the crooked money changers in the temple courts. He let out a tirade against the hard-hearted and spiritually blind Pharisees, pronounced 7 woes against them. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 23. What was that? That was a display of God's righteous indignation against that which is sinful, that which is evil, that which is offensive to God and obstructive to the redeeming grace of our Lord. The very thing that was evident and so destructive in a zealous Pharisee named Saul of Tarsus. Yes, Saul of Tarsus, who became the great apostle Paul, was one of the angriest men you would never have wished to meet, especially as a Christian. Look at what Luke says about him. Acts 8 and verse 3. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and slammed them into prison. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the apostles, the disciples of Jesus. Here was a very angry young man. What changed his life so completely that his zeal was directed in godly pursuits in a godly way? It was, of course, his encounter with Jesus himself on the road to Damascus. That experience, which took 3 days to process in this man's life, that experience of an encounter with Jesus, bringing him to radical repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus, and to the place where he was filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus, the secret and the remedy. That experience changed Saul of Tarsus into Paul, the great apostle. Anger can be caused by so many different things, can it not? Too much stress can result in a short fuse. I know it only too well. Frustration can result in outbursts of anger. Have you never known your frustration to erupt in anger? No? Well, then you're a better man than I am. Personal attacks can produce anger. Calling people names or demeaning them. Racism, insults can cause anger. Pride can erupt in anger. Jealousy can erupt in anger. An impatient spirit can erupt in anger. I think Donald Trump's quite good at it. When you get angry, your rights are violated, your value system trashed. It's not difficult to get angry. Elaine and I were quite pleased when we heard from our granddaughter Chelsea after a first lecture or two in sociology at Stellenbosch University that she was both hurt and angered by what the lecturer had shared, which cut right across her Christian value system and her personal convictions. So many things can produce anger. So we need to do what we can to analyze and where we can to avoid the things that fuel our anger. The Apostle James says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. The Apostle Paul says, don't let your anger lead you to do what is sinful. Don't go to sleep with unresolved anger in your heart. Chuck Swindoll paraphrases that to married couples. Don't sleep back to back because of anger. God help us to control the dangerous dragon of anger. Amen? A father was shopping with his 3-year-old son in a department store, and he was making comments like this: easy, Albert. Slow down, boy. Get a handle on yourself, old buddy. And the bystander overheard him and said, hi, I'm a child psychologist, and I'd like to commend you on the way you handle your little son, Albert. My son, nothing, he said. My name is Albert. The Bible enjoins us not to vent our anger or suppress our anger, but to release it in a proper manner. For that you need as much help as I do, so that both of us can be angry at the right person, usually ourselves, angry for the right cause, the will of God, angry for the right duration of time, not long at all. Angry in the right way. Angry in a Christ-like and constructive way. So you and I need the Lord Jesus. And we need the Lord Jesus to live his life in us and through us in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what transformed Saul of Tarsus. That's what transforms every believer in the Lord Jesus, who is willing to live a contrite, repentant life before God, recognizing that we are the sinners for whom Jesus died, and humbly leaning into the grace of our Lord Jesus every day, and trusting the Holy Spirit of God to produce in us this fruit of the Holy Spirit. As I said at the outset, the devil finds a ready ally in our fallen nature and seeks to stir up from within what Paul calls, writing to the Galatians, the works of the flesh, the produce of the old depraved nature. How do you get victory over that? Anger is one of the products. You get victory over it, the Apostle Paul points out, by being wholly surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus and being filled and controlled with the Holy Spirit of God. When he is in control, the result is not the works of the flesh, but the fruit of a Christ-like character and demeanor. Love that is characterized by joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things, the apostle says, there is no law. And those who truly belong to Christ have crucified the old nature with its deeds and are able to walk in the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit of Jesus. That's the only answer to the dragon of anger. You see, Satan, our archenemy, builds his kingdom on the works of our fallen nature. Anger is one of them. But Jesus builds his kingdom on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when you are manifesting the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God, you take the glue out of Satan's kingdom building. Do you understand that? The manifestation of the life and character of Jesus takes the glue out of Satan's kingdom building, because he builds his kingdom on lies, on deceit, on envy, on jealousy, on anger, on immorality, and a host of other things that our depraved nature is capable of producing. But Satan has no answer to the life and character of Jesus. Satan has no answer to unconditional love, to joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And those are the things that the Lord uses to build his kingdom, to establish and demonstrate his reign. The kingdom of God is built upon Jesus, his finished work on the cross, and his present work indwelling us in the person and power of the Holy Spirit as we trust and obey. And as we do, we keep on growing in the grace and experiential knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so what is my prayer this morning? What is your prayer? as we confront the dangerous dragon of anger. It is simply in the words of the songwriter, Jesus, be Jesus in me, no longer I, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Oh, Jesus, be Jesus in me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you've created us so that we can be indignant, angry over the right things. And we pray that you'd help us to be like Jesus, to be indignant over those things that are offensive to you, Lord, but to control our own selves, so that, like the Apostle Paul, we have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but it's no longer us, really. It's Christ living in us. And the life we now live in these bodies, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you for the cross, dear Lord, where we can take all our sinful anger and every other feeling that would be offensive to you. And thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the power of the Word of God. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to us. And so help us to walk ever closer to you. And help us to walk in fellowship with one another in such a way that we help each other, that we hold each other accountable to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We thank you, dear Father, that you are able to help us to help each other to grow in Christ-likeness to the glory of his name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.